Here, amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. That's where I want to spend my life. And I come up and sometimes, you know, I find a lot of unhappy looking people up there, you know. I'm so thrilled to save. You know, if I die in front of your eyes, the next face I'll see will be Jesus. Amen. I think that's good. And I've got the cheerleaders with me this morning. They forgot their pom-poms, but I've got them with me. Anyway, I'll encourage me tremendously. Wonderful to see you guys. Isn't it good to be saved? Amen? Oh, I tell you. I love stating the obvious. But you know what? We've forgotten the obvious. That's the problem in life, isn't it? We forget the obvious. We've been on the Holy Spirit over this past few weeks, and I'm really glad to just bring it to some things together this morning. We've just had a wonderful time. When we come to Spanish Wells, we feel we're coming home. With so many we love. I'm now an orphan. My mother's gone, my father's gone, and my brother's gone, my sister's gone. So I'm literally an orphan, so I need all the family I can get. So I'm so blessed. And His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And I love you as brothers and sisters in the Lord. I was a wee bit disappointed this morning when I read the bulletin that there's, after the Thursday night meeting, there's a social. I thought it may be a celebration that I've left on the Wednesday. And I thought, why did they do that to me? Why did they, just when I'm excited, they put on a farewell social because I'm gone? But anyway, that's the way my weird mind works. When you begin preaching on streets, corners, where people don't have to listen, you've got to make them listen. And you do that by using all sorts of strange things and phrases to get them to stop, just to get a moment, get a text. But anyway, we've had a wonderful time, and as just Margaret and I just love being with you all, and as I told you last time, one of the reasons I have to go home after the end of a month is that I have no more pants that fit me, so I have to get to move on. I get to, cause it gets desperate. I need to buy a pair of evangelistic trousers and just go out, you know, to go out when I come in. Okay, John 14. That's it. And share it with you. I'm glad our young friends are with us today because there's, I want to say this is next to being saved. This is some of the most vital teaching that we've been on over the last while. That the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, of course, we know it's the upper room ministry. Our Lord Jesus is telling His disciples He's going. You can almost feel the disappointment as you read these passages, don't you? As He said, I'm going away. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house and many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And but you sense the disappointment. Thomas said, how can we get there? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So He teaches us, first of all, the principle is to follow Him because He is the way. And that is the basic principle, is keep your eyes on the Lord in Scripture and what He's saying, and what He's saying through His servants in Scripture. And then as He goes on, He, of course, comes to say, look, I'm not just dropping you in the ocean without a life belt, and you can't swim. I'm going to give you someone just like me. We saw that last week. If you go down to 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father that He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. We discovered that there were two words there for another. There was the allos and the heteros, and the allos is someone just exactly the same. Not a substitute, not a substitute football or on the field. The Lord Jesus was putting the real thing, something just like me, there. And then he goes on and he says, that is the Spirit of truth. He identifies who he's talking about. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now I wonder what on this passage a wee bit, so let's just do that and see what the Lord is saying here. So what the Lord is showing is this, look, I'm physically leaving you, but we're spiritually not leaving you. There's something going to happen that's going to be dynamic. Well, we know what happened. We know that in Acts 2, after the Lord had ascended and they waited in prayer, the Spirit of God came down in a phenomenal force and indwelt them. And then suddenly you got the fishermen like Peter suddenly standing up and being so bold and preaching Jesus Christ in such a way that the end of the story, of course, is that so many responded to that message and were baptized, having repented and came into the fellowship and were brought, and then the principles were placed together there of the Word. The Word of God is important. It's, if we don't see the Word of God being important, it's like saying eating isn't important. The Word of God is for you. It's milk to some, and it's meat to others. But the Spirit is necessary to apply it in that way. So if some get a T-bone steak, some of us are arrived at the time when we're enjoying a T-bone steak in the Word, but there's still some who are in milk. And then maybe it doesn't apply so much on this island, but if you're working where I'm working and working with who I'm working, we're working with generations who have never been at Sunday school, who only know Jesus Christ as blasphemy. That's it. Jesus Christ is a curse word. And when you work with these people, you can't begin with T-bone steaks. And I think one of the big mistakes we make is assuming that the fellow who walks into our church or into our fellowships understands what we understand. They don't. You'd be amazed how clueless many are because they've never been taught. We have generations now who have never been in Sunday school. So we make it, for the young ones, it's milk. We break it down, bring it into understanding. And so we discover that the Lord sees us, and he says, now I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. You'll understand it. The Word's important. The fellowship's important. The Lord's Supper is important, and prayer is important. In fact, you know, the prayer is what produces great worship, because prayer is communion with God. You know, you take a marital relationship or just a courting relationship. I understand it's difficult in Spanish Welsh where the fellows are at sea. But, you know, if they're at home on this little island of Gaul all week without saying to that girl, I love you, she's going to have a different view of you. And, you know, to come to the breaking of bread and say, Lord, I'm here because it's in the Scripture, and I'm here because this is the way it's laid out. Now, that's fine. But if you haven't spoken to God all week, how on earth do you expect to get up and worship Him? Right? It's a relationship. And when you come to the Lord's table, that is the culmination of a wonderful week with Jesus. Or a hard week. And then you come back and you say, wow, did he do all this for me? And he extracts by the Spirit from your innermost being worship. You want to get up and say, yes, Lord, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship thee. And so we see he gives us the wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. I've told you this story before, but for those who don't know it, it's a very interesting thing. We focus on different aspects of it, but how important is the Spirit in our lives? Well, very important, but I read a story about a Church of England school where they went there and they learned to be choir boys and all this kind of stuff. But the teacher was an innovative teacher. He wanted to make it interesting for the kids rather than just boring. Every day they said the creed, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And to make it interesting, he went along the line and said, okay, you say God the Father, you say God the Son, you say God the Holy Spirit. They went right through the whole creed. Just to make it exciting for the kids to be participating in what it was all about. And this particular morning it began and was, I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. And then there was silence. And the teacher looked across the class and he saw a boy with his hand up. Do you remember those days, those who were old enough, you had to put your hand up or you were in trouble? I was in constant trouble. You know, I tell you, you had to say, please miss, I know the answer. You know, and he said, what? And he said, yes, what's the problem? He says, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is not here this morning. Sometimes I go to prayer meeting and I wonder if the boy who believes, the brother who believes in the Holy Spirit is not here that night. Because we have an almighty, awesome God. We teach the children that, don't we? We have an almighty, awesome God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. So as we look down this, we discovered as we look through it that the Holy Spirit, and I just repeat this for the younger folks, we found out that the Holy Spirit was a divine person and that he is a creator, he is an intellect, he has a will, and he has emotion. The emotion of love. We saw that last week. The love of the Spirit. Also, we pointed out to, just bring it down for our younger friends, that he's a delightful person. Now, why is he delightful? He's delightful because he's just the same as Jesus. Amen? We love the Lord. We don't tell the Spirit that we love him, but what we do is we use the Spirit to tell the Lord that we love him. We're in the Spirit, and we move that way, and we say, Lord, I love you. How can we do that? Well, no man can call him Lord but by the Spirit. So he's got to be there if we're going to experience it. So we discovered that he was indeed a delightful, and he was a permanent helper. He said, he shall be in you, he'll not leave you. He's a personal helper, he's characterized by our acquaintance. How many times that we've been in a situation where we've prayed and sought God's immediate help. We've done a heavenly 911. Because of the situation where maybe in a hospital room or maybe just in a difficult circumstances, only to find that the Lord was there. He's a present helper. He's with you just now. I want to say to the young folks, he'll never help you to pass exams if you've never studied. You see, there are certain things God expects us to do. And if you're going to have an exam, then you sit down and you study it. You might get in there and say, oh, gee, I studied that over the week. I should know that, should I? He will aid you where you are not able to help yourself. And that's the wonderful thing about our Lord. But he won't do for you what you can do for yourself. And so as we come to this and we find he's constantly with us, third thing I just want to point out, he's a dynamic person. I love that word, dynamic. It just It kind of associated so much with God. He's the changer of lives. And if you go down through this passage here where we are, you will discover certain things in verses 16 and 17. Now, you've got to look at it this way, that the Spirit is the natural. He's supernatural. When you go to the classic illustration of being born again, what happens when you're born again? Well, Nicodemus said, okay, how can a man go? He said, wait a minute. The Lord untwists his twisted mind and takes the knots out of the thread. And he says, wait a minute. Two things. That which is flesh is flesh. Now, as I look along the line here, I see faces that I recognize because I know their parents. And you see them, and you can, if I could win a prize today pointing out who they belong to, you know, you can't hide it. And you see, the Lord uses this wonderful illustration. He says, you know, that when you're born again, you're born again of the Spirit of God. For that which is flesh, but that which is spirit. In other words, he wants you, just as you're like your earthly father in the natural sign, he wants you to be like your heavenly father in the supernatural sign. I love the story, and I've used it probably, and I've used it here many times, but it's worth repeating, because to me, it's a challenge to my life every time. About a friend of mine in the northeast of Scotland, who was out walking one day, and he saw this blind man coming to him, and he knew who he was. It was a lunchtime in Aberdeen, and there was a big crowd, folks getting, coming out, going from offices and everything, going to get the lunch. And this man comes down the road, and he knew the man, and he looked at his watch and said, I'm too big a hurry to stop. So off he went past him. And just as he was passing him, a man stopped him and said, excuse me, sir, are you Tom Morrow? And my friend just amazed me. He said, yes, how do you know? And he gave this fantastic remark, this blind man. He said, you walk just like your father, and I knew your father. And out of all the footsteps that were going down the road, he heard a footstep that he recognized. Now I want to say to our young friends and our older friends, the greatest thing you can do is to go out in that world and walk like your father. Because I tell you what, we live in a world that needs to see supernatural living. And God lives in us by the power of the Spirit. Whether it's a kind word, a loving word, a caring for a woman in a crowd, when he was being pressed in was Jesus, could turn around and say, who touched me? They could have said, but Lord, who touched you? What a ridiculous question. No, somebody in need touched me. That's the difference, isn't it? It's the ability to decipher that someone needs your touch because you live a supernatural life in the power of the Spirit. We had an experience where the next door to us, two doors down from us, an older lady lives next door to us, then there's Margaret and I, and then there's a single lady and another single lady. So I always said to them, look, if you hit any problem, day or night, don't hesitate to call us. We're here for you. Come. So this night I got a knocking at the door, and I ran at the door, and here was a lady, one of the younger ladies, in her night clothes and with a a gown or and saying, John, I need to get in. As a fellow she had been going with, and he had got very aggressive, burst down the door, locked her in the house, and then had gone upstairs and came down, and she had managed to get out. And guess which house she ran to? She ran to ours. Come in. And we, of course, took her in and spent time with her. Because I had first seen her when I came home one night, sitting on the doorstep with a glass of wine, and I said, wouldn't you like to come in and have a coffee? And she says, well, I've got a glass of wine. I said, bring the wine with you. And so she came in. Now, tell us your story. It was about a broken marriage, a divorce, life falling apart. Ooh. But they know who'll listen, don't they? I'd love to say I led her to the Lord. I didn't. But I will say this. She's moved from our area, and she still's come back to see us. And I believe if there's any trouble, she'd be back again, knocking on our door. And maybe one of these days we will, but I did give her Vicky Gaynor's book, who had been on drugs and everything and got saved, and I said, read that. I said, because dear, what you really need is a new life, and only God can give that to you. But we've got to walk that this world says, hey, this is the guy, this is the girl I want to see. And you don't have to be old to experience that. You can be young, because you have a supernatural help. If you look at verses 16 and 17 here, I will ask the Father, and he will put another one, just someone like Jesus, helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides within you and will be with you. Now, it's absolutely tremendous. You remember where we began? We began with the overflowing rivers 4 Sundays ago. For out of his innermost parts, says Jesus, shall flow what? Rivers of living water. And God says, I want to give you a life. And the Lord Jesus says, and he takes it up, you remember, in John's Gospel? I am come that you might have it, life, more abundantly. Is that right? Abundance of life. I was quite happy before I was saved. I've always had a sense of humor. When I got saved, God sanctified it. Wasn't always as clean as this. But you know, my dear friends, I want to say this. I had my moments. You took life. The way you took life in the world, they say, hey, today I'm happy, tomorrow I'm sad, you know, but maybe next week will be better. We always lived in the future. Now I live in the hereafter. Because I go into a room at my age and say, what am I hereafter? You know, sometimes I forget. You ever done that? I do that regularly. But you know, when you begin to see it, and you see God working in these ways in your life, in your future, and then the Spirit of God comes into your life. Now, maybe I'm a little different from some, because, and maybe not, because some, as we used to say in the old days, sowed your wild oats before you got saved. When you did, you came back. You know what the stunning reality was? That everything you heard about Jesus was true. Wasn't that right? Suddenly I hit you. Why did it take me so long to discover that life could be exciting knowing Jesus Christ? And I couldn't believe it. It hit me like a double trailer on the 81, the Interstate 81 beside our house. It just, boom, wow. I knew it had hit me. And you know, he said, look, he's with you. The world doesn't know him, because they think you've gone a little soft in the head. But he is not only with you, but he's right there in you. And Jesus says, let him have his way, and he'll overflow. in your life. There's an old chorus. I always used to sing it in Surly Heights. Say, Uncle, forget his name, he's now with the Lord. Roberts was his name. Yeah, many of you'll know him. He always used to lead at Sunday school when I was up there. And then they asked me to do a week's meetings for the new year, and we did it challenging people to live for God. And I used the children's chorus. Well, it wasn't really a children's chorus. It's a chorus with a lot of meaning in it. Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no joy. There's no peace until the Lord has his way. Isn't that right? Isn't that the simple gospel truth? In other words, let him take control. My friend Willie Mullen, the Irishman, who was in the middle of the field, and he'd heard the gospel the night before, and he had a house with a den of thieves in it, and he says, there was no one there. I was on the way to case the factory to break into it the next night, and the Lord stopped him. And he says, and he got saved. In those days, they carried big knives and razors. In Glasgow, they used to carry these big open razors, and they would slash you as quick as look at you. And when he got saved, he said, Lord, he says, I want to say, Lord, I'm going down to that house, and I'm going to clean the lot of them out, and if there's one man says a word against you, I'll cut his head off. That's fresh Christianity, isn't it? And he said, just like the moment, in the middle of the field, he said, a plane came over from Newton Ards Airport. He said, I recognized it. It was a trainer plane, where the young pilot, the student, and the master pilot were together. And he said, if the student was going to take it into crash, the older, experienced man took over the controls and brought it down safely. And he said, I could hear the Lord by the Spirit saying, Willie, you are no longer in control. I am in control. Amen. And how many times have we nearly crashed and suddenly we discover I'm running my life. It should be God. We story for the young folks. There was a couple got saved in Glasgow. And they couldn't read or write. They couldn't read or write. But she wanted to knit him. They got associated with the Salvation Army and loved the red jersey. You know, the whatever you call it here, sweater. And loved it. She says, oh dear. She started to knit one for her husband. She said, I'd love him to have one. She got the knit, but she said, I don't know the words. So she came in this day and she said to him, very excitedly, she says, I saw what I think is the words in a shop window and I've measured them out. And I'm sure I can put them on the jersey. So she finished it and he put it on in Julie. And the first night of the open airs in the crossroads in Glasgow, the major said, does anyone want to give a testimony? And oh, he was up there. He wanted to tell him what the Lord had done for him. So he proudly opened his jacket to show his jersey, and right across his chest was written, under new management. As Americans say, ain't that the truth? Under new management. That's what God does for us. He takes charge. And he takes the bankrupt business and he makes it prosperous. He did that for me 50 years ago. Oh, I was on the verge of bankruptcy when Jesus said, Clunas, come home. So but let me say this very quickly in the moments we've got. Am I boring you yet? No? Oh, that's good. Oh, well, that's fine. As I say in Scotland, if you don't strike oil in 20 minutes, stop boring. So I don't want to bore you. But here we are. If you go to verses 19 and 20, what have we got here? After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. It's not only a supernatural helper you get, but you get a supernatural life. He says, I'm in you, and I'm in the Father. What a relationship. You talk about who you know. You know, somebody says in the town, well, how did you get that job? Or how did you manage to get into that price? Well, it's who you know. And amazing, we know the one who controls the universe. You can't go any higher than that, is that right? He's in me. I'm in him. Somebody says, well, that's what Paul talks about in Colossians, that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. And some critic says, how can you possibly have that? Very simply, you're seafaring folk. You can practice this tomorrow, but don't recommend you all do it or we'll be in trouble. But just go down to the sea with a bottle, fill it with water, put the top on tight, throw it into the water, and what have you got? Two things. You've got the sea and the bottle, and you've got the bottle and the sea. Isn't that right? Isn't that wonderful? And we are in the ocean, or I'm learning Bahamian. We're in the ocean of God's love, and the ocean of God's love is in us. What a powerful experience, eh? I mean, what a life. You don't buy this in Walmart, although you get everything else there, but you don't get that in Walmart, do you? It's powerful, isn't it? Supernatural life. Look at verses 20-24. We read part of it. In that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments keeps them. He it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by the Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now he talks about Judas, not Iscariot, that said, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And you know what we have? A supernatural union with the Father. There you are. When we begin to see it, what is happening here, what the Word of God is teaching here. If we love Him, if we keep our commandments, if we're in Christ and He's in us, we have a union. He says, and the Father and I will come and make our abode with you. What a union. That's an outstanding supernatural union. You say, well, you know, how can I know these things? We'll go over to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, or the Comforter, will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You know, one of the things that shook me, I have to say that, I said it on a Thursday night, but one of the things that shook me when I got saved was, and I had gone to Sunday school, I'd memorized the verses, I'd even won prizes, believe it or not, as a little boy, and because those were the days when your mother said, you go to Sunday school or else. You know, and my mother, although she wasn't saved, came from a Sabbatarian background from her island, the island of Harris, where nothing moved on a Sunday, and in 2008, nothing moves on a Sunday, but only in the direction of the church. No ferries are allowed to travel to the island of Harris or Lewis on a Sunday. No planes are allowed to come in. And if you want a bed, don't come on Saturday night and say, I'm only staying till Sunday, because you won't get it. You'll have to stay till Monday. They're very strict. Very, very strict. And so my mother, although she wasn't saved, said, "You're going to Sunday school." And she knew how long it took me to get there. And she knew how long it took me to get back. And my mother wasn't even saved. And I went, you know, I grew up so stuff like this stuff. But you know, I learned the scripture. But when I got saved, the thing that astounded me was when I began to read this book and pray before the Lord, give me an understanding of what you're telling me here. You literally begin to hear God speaking to you. You begin to hear God speaking to you. But you have to listen. And you'll read. And suddenly, even now, after all the years, a verse, as I know, will come out and hit you between the eyes with a powerful, distinctive punch, because God is showing you and teaching you, and will help you. You see, and he does this in very, very many ways. There's so many aspects of this we haven't time to go into, but in a moment, someone said, well, I see young folk, what am I going to do in life? Would you believe me if I told you, if you put your life in the hands of the Lord, he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? He will open the doors. I fell ill. I was just 2 years saved. I was 18. Boy, was I on fire. I nearly had burnout by the time I was 18 and a half. I was on fire. You know, you see I've changed over the years. But I tell you, I would say, but the biggest thing, when a doctor looked at me in the face and said, you've got tuberculosis when you're coming into hospital. And I said, for how long? And very wisely, he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me. Because if he told me, I think I would have run out of his office. And I went in there, not knowing I was going to be there the best part of a year. And the first part of it would be in a bed without moving. Me in a bed for months without moving? That's nigh short of a miracle. And I remember, but during that time, God began to talk to me, began to teach me things. What an education I got in a hospital bed. What an education. There were nurses who came who were Christians who never got to church. And one girl had led her whole family to the Lord. And she came back and you could see her faith was weakening because she wasn't getting fellowship. And they would make for my bed and wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, "Are you sleeping, John? Well, what else do you do at 3 o'clock in the morning?" You know what I'm saying? And we would talk about the Lord. And I would say, you know, well, you got to get it. And when I got out at 20, I remember it was the last day of the year in 1960. I was so disillusioned. You ever felt your life fell apart? And I felt that way. I was 20 years of age. I loved God with all my heart. My hobby, my everything was Jesus. And here it was. Nice Christian men whom I loved were saying, "Take it easy, John. Get a light job. Forget the Lord's work." I just felt, well, just dig the hole now and I'll go into it and lie down and you can put the sod back on. May as well go away now. But that wasn't God's plan. And the first 3 months of that year of 61 was though the heavens were brass and God didn't care anymore about your uncleness. I went in to see a Bill Gruen film one night. The YMCA going up the steep. Man said, he said, "Are you John Clunis?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Will you come and help us with some gospel work? We need help." That was my first invitation. until this day, I have never, ever asked to go anywhere. God opens doors. He'll open the door for you in life. And when Paul said, hey, this is the way I'm going, do you remember what? It says, the Spirit forbade us. And he took him over to Philippi. And a teenager got saved. A woman got saved. A businesswoman, Lydia. A teenager got saved. Then they put him in jail. The jailer got saved. And he said, amen. Why? Because he had a dynamic person living inside him. But I'm finished with this. And in verse 27, peace I leave you with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Do I give to you? Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid or fearful. Let me say this. And there is no peace, no joy, no thrill, like walking in his will. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, if I make it sound easy, forgive me, it's not easy. There's a lot of forces out there. There's a lot of forces even in the church that will fight your spiritual growth, will upset you, put you back, put you in a corner. One of the things I love about getting old is that I'm able to look at folks straight in the face who come and quiet me down and say, it sounds to me like you're the guy who's got the problem. I'm okay. But God will put a peace in your heart, and he'll lead you. And one of my favorite verses is, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that's within us this morning. We're born of the Spirit. If there's anybody who is not saved, may they get saved this morning, even this. And as we go to worship, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us just the ability to rise up and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I know you are mine. For you, all the pleasures of sin, we resign. Our blessed Redeemer. And so, Father, bless everyone here. We thank you for the younger friends with us today and the freshness of their faces and of their lives. And Father, I pray that they may prove now that you care, and you lead, and you direct. And for us, and getting old, those getting older, we, and those in between, I pray, as decisions are made in life, that they will know the aid of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.